listening to Tassie Encounters Moments on Faith FM. And we're coming to you from Tasmania, right across Australia. Each weekday on Tassie Encounters, you can hear what the Bible says about past, current and future events. You can learn how to study the Bible more effectively. You can get to know who God is, why we're here and where we're going. And you can experience personal encounters with Jesus. I'm your host, Jason Cook, and today David Leo is back in the studio with me today. Welcome, David.
Thank you, Jason. Good to be here.
We're looking at a topic this week called Church. Is it relevant?
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday you talked about a book that you've been reading called The Great De-Churching.
Yeah.
And I guess it challenges us to think about it, doesn't it? To think about individually, if we're not attending a church, should we be?
Yes.
And for those who are attending a church, to think about why are people leaving?
Yeah, and mass. Mm. You know, we it's always, you know, it's church members ourselves that have been there for a while. It's always a sad thing to learn. You know, if we don't pick up, you know, and sadly sometimes we haven't seen somebody for a while. And we don't notice till about 3 or 4 months into it. And you always feel the guilt. So, you know, you're like, oh, I haven't seen this. Oh, yeah, they haven't been coming for a while. Then you go follow them up and you hear the stories that come through and they're well beyond anything. Oh, it could be such and such preached a sermon that, you know, they didn't like and it hurt their feelings and they talked to someone and it's the domino effect. And
or it could be something completely different, like personal crises in their life or sorts of things.
Or the thing that we mentioned yesterday about, oh, I've just started playing a sport on Saturday and, you know, like a church was boring to me. So, you know, I find playing bowls more fun. But whatever the case may be, it's not something that's just affecting us on our front doors. This is, according to this book in America, 15.4% of adults in the last 25 years have left the church.
Mm.
So there is definitely a thought out there that maybe not even a thought, it just happens. You know, they don't think church is relevant. It's not helping them or their spouse or their children or whatever. But,
well, There's no
purpose?
Important reason.
Yes.
To keep going for some reason.
Yeah.
But then we find that sometimes people do end up pursuing their own lives and careers, and then something happens, and they wake up and they think, oh, there's something just missing in my life.
Yeah, right. That's right. And so we're looking at a text in Acts 2 verse 42 where I believe there's four major elements, and I believe those four major elements, that's what I'm questioning, are they still relevant today?
Mm.
Acts 2 verse 42 was written to a church that just started out. So basically, Jesus was here. He had 12 disciples that he had trained up. And when he died on the cross and he rose again and he gave them the instruction, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And after that, they went to work.
Mm.
You know, they did exactly what Jesus said. They waited in the room. The Holy Spirit came upon them, and they went out into the
city. When you read the account of the early church in the, you know, early chapters of Acts, in fact, most of the book of Acts, really, it's amazing things are going on.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's historical record outside of the Bible that talks about these weirdos that were turning their world upside down, you know, and people were joining them by the dozens. You know,
they called them the Way, didn't they?
The Way, yeah. And, you know, interesting enough, the Way was an outlawed religion because it wasn't categorized as any particular religion according to the Roman Empire. Now, they understood the Jews, they understood Zoroastrianism, they understood worshipping the emperor, but, you know, this one, this was new. You know, like, what do we do with these guys? So they were basically atheists, you know. These weird guys that are worshipping this Jesus Christ, believing that he died and rose again. No one had ever done that before.
Mm.
And they're holding on to the promise that Jesus will return. And if you could read that, Acts 2 verse 42, please, Jason.
Sure. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, and to prayer.
Okay, so there are four things here, these four elements in Acts 2, verse 42. Today, we're just going to deal with
teaching and fellowship.
The devotion to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. That's right. And so when it comes to apostles' teaching, what are your thoughts there, Jason? What do you think, what are they doing in the devotion to the apostles' teaching?
It brings me back to the day of Pentecost, actually, in my mind, which is, I think, in Acts chapter 2, isn't it?
That's right, earlier on, in the beginning.
Yeah, earlier on in this same chapter, where the disciples had received the Holy Spirit in a powerful and special way.
Like a wind, it says.
Yeah, and they started preaching, and they were preaching to Jews from all different places.
That's right.
Who many of them weren't familiar with the language.
Yeah.
And yet everyone heard the preaching heard in their from own, their own language. So
the Jews from Ethiopia, the Jews that came from the Orient, the Jews that came from Egypt, they heard the Egyptian language. They heard the Orient language. They heard, you know, them speaking in the language of the nations they came from. And they were just, they were perplexed. How did these untrained guys that never left, you know, never left the island. Oh, sorry, I was thinking of Tasmania. They never left Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And they know to speak our language, you know, and they can break down the scriptures for us, the Torah. So amazing, exciting.
So they taught for sure. And as they taught, they, convicted, you know, the people became convicted of the truth in their teaching.
That's right. And so everything that Jesus taught, Jesus didn't write a thing. You know, so thankful that we've got the Bible here that, you know, the apostles wrote it down. So Luke is one of the, he's one of the followers, and he's written this book, and he's basically journaling what he's seen, right? And he, we'll just break down what apostles means. So these disciples, these young men were following Jesus around, and as they were following Jesus around for 3.5 years, and they called him rabbi or our teacher. What are some of the significant things you think they learned in their 3.5 years with Jesus?
Oh, they learned heaps.
Yeah.
They asked lots of questions, but they learned heaps. I don't know. Are you going somewhere specific with this?
I am. I realize I am. So a lot of the things they learned in 3.5 years, it wasn't just verbalized. It's not just the parables that we hear in the Bible. In fact, John, at the end of his book, he says, there are so many things I could add, but
they couldn't write it all down.
Well, I can't write it all down. So, you know, and you and I know too that when we learn something, whether we're learning an instrument or learning a skill or whatever it could be, we're not just learning from them, like jug to mug.
Yeah.
Like it's caught. When we're around things for so long, you know, this is something I've.
So they're learning by experience.
Correct. By experience.
They're following, they're living, they're breathing and the life that Christ lived for 3 years or 3.5 years. They were there alongside.
That's right. They got to hear the parables and go, wow, that's amazing. And not only that, you know, like here's an example I want to give. We read the parables and go, that's amazing. But you put yourself in the disciples' shoes. They're sometimes in the context that Jesus is teaching these parables, there are leaders in the crowd.
Yeah.
You know, the leaders of the council.
Religious leaders. Probably other rabbis, other teachers.
Other rabbis, you know, and there are women there as well. Mm. There are children. There are the simple people of life. And they were noticing Jesus doesn't just talk to the experts. They would talk to everyone, and they learned, oh, they're getting offended. While they're being offended, these people are being inspired. You know, like, wow, how does that, you know? So they're learning all these things as they will follow Jesus around. And when Jesus returns to heaven, he gives the instruction that they're to go there for and teach all nations. And then we go to 1 John. If we go to 1 John, we hear from the lips of one of the disciples what he's trying to tell the church, right? He's saying, here's the go, guys. This is what we're telling you.
So 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 says, we proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard so that you may have fellowship with us. Mm. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ.
Okay, so there's something solid there. Mm. You know, John's saying, what we're telling you it's not something we've heard secondary. You know, we were there in front of them, listening to him and hearing him, and they're verifying each other as well, you know?
And, you know, that mirrors in a way, or reflects in a way, the same sort of thing that Christ said, that, you know, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So here they're saying, well, you can fellowship with us now as well, and through this fellowship you'll see Christ and you'll see the
Father. That's right. Correct. Through this fellowship, you're going to understand what Jesus is like, who he is, that he isn't just human. He actually, you know, I know the Roman Empire telling you that we're worshiping a human being, but hang out with us and listen to what we're saying, and then you'll have to answer the question when Jesus says, who do you say I am? Right? They're going to answer that question as well. So I haven't actually talked about apostles. So the word apostles basically means sent. So they went from being disciples that were mentored under Jesus Christ, and now Jesus said, everything that you've learned and trained under me, now it's time for you to show it to others. And that's exactly what they did. They went from, they started in Jerusalem. Jesus said to start there, and then they expanded. The disciples went to different places. You know, there's a really fascinating book. I should read it again. I love the book. It's called Truth Triumphant. And it actually talks about the records of where the disciples, the different places they went to share the gospel around different places. But the apostles' teaching, you imagine, they didn't have computers or tablets or even writing material. So the teaching that they had to submit themselves to was all verbal.
Mm.
They sat in an area where one of the apostles were there, and, you know, it was basically like a... I still enjoy this. They'll say, hey, there was this day we were out in Galilee, and he started with the sermon, you know, and the people that were coming were all sick, you know, some of them were, and Jesus said this. And that's what they're devoting themselves to, is to hear those stories. And so by the time they got the written material, they had people that had the whole scroll of Mark, you know, or the whole scroll of Luke or whatever the gospel is.
So that would have been pretty exciting for them to actually receive a written copy, because it's hard to remember everything in detail
from a story for us. Yeah.
Maybe they had better memories.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
sorry to interrupt. I'm getting a bit excited. One of the things I studied, it wasn't even part of my study. I got distracted. One of my essays, I had to read something and I thought, what is this? And it was called performance critical. And basically performance critical thinking is that there's this understanding that academics have come up with, is that the sharing of the gospel was done by memorizing a book. So somebody, there's a woman named, her name's gone from me, but they have record of her. She's mentioned in the Bible, actually, but she memorized the book of Mark. And she'll, you know, when she was invited to go somewhere or she went somewhere, people gathered around to hear her recite Mark.
Mm.
And then as people recited Mark and there were people that could write, you know, they would hear it and then they would try and write it down, you know, and then so what's happening here is they're getting bits and bobs of stories and then sharing it on.
Of course, many people in those days were not able to read and write.
That's right. Correct.
So the oral.
Good point.
The oral.
It was very important.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you had, and for them, they didn't have the distractions of, you know,
modern doom
scrolling and things like that. So their memory was sharp, you know, and it was really exciting for me to read that. The reason why I got excited reading that is because in my Samoan culture, the memory of the family genealogy and the tree and the stories of each generation is incredibly important, and they encourage to memorize it.
Mm.
So I was like, this makes sense. This actually makes a lot of sense.
It's like we've grown up in a day and age where pretty much all information is available online.
Yeah. Crunch.
You just Google it. And so you intentionally shelve that. You say, well, if I need it again,
yes,
I'll search for it again.
Yes, agreed.
And it's the same thing, I guess, with the written word that, if I need it, I'll go look it up. I'll read it. Whereas in those days, it was more important to remember it because they may not have the written word or they may not have Google to search for it.
Agreed. We were camping last weekend with just my family, and as we were talking, I realized there was probably 10 times that I was talking to my son as we were talking about certain things, and my brain went, oh, I wonder what that is. Oh, I can't get reception, so I can't look it up in Google. And I, by the fifth time, I'm like, this is ridiculous. My mind is defaulting to look it up on my phone, and I don't need to. I can just rest with not knowing. And so this leads to fellowship. Fellowship is another part they say that's really important, right? And one of the important factors is, other than accountability and other than, hearing and experiencing things together, that is a very that experiencing and doing things together is incredibly important. And I want to take this, opportunity to share real quickly an inspiring story that I think is in Tasmania itself. We have a campground in the northwest. It's called Pine Springs Campground. And about 20 years ago, 20 odd years, that campground was neglected. And, you know, I don't know how long it was neglected for, but for whatever reason, the president that came had a vision to restore this campground and bring it to a place where it can be used, because it wasn't being used at all. You know, it was, the infrastructure wasn't there and it just hadn't been used for years. And then there were a couple of people that he had on the team, pastoral team, and he made a call out to the church members and said, do you want this campground, you know, to be up and running? And, you know, it's a blessing for the young people. You know, this is where growth and fellowship and camps happen. And there was a resounding yes. And when the church said yes, and he said, okay, we're going to dedicate so many weeks. I think it was 12 weeks or something like that. We're spending this much money. It was a hefty amount of money. But what we need from you is this many hours to labor and to come and help out at the campground. Well, guess what happened, Jason?
I'm guessing people volunteered.
Well, the campground's up and running now, isn't it? Like, we've got a campground up and running. And the Tasmanian church members responded to the call. They turned up, they made the hours, they put the labor in, they put in the hard work. And their vision is, and I say that because just recently we had a thing called Pathfinder Rally and Fair, and we have big camp there. We're incredibly blessed in many ways of having that campground there, just like the vision of that president said. You know, he said, this is where we use, and it's been used now. It's been used so many times, and there's so many memories that are happening there. I say that because those church members that were there at the time, they have a story to tell. They experienced it together. They caught the vision, and they said yes to the response, and the vision has been lived out now, but I wasn't there. You know what I mean? Like, I get excited hearing the story, but they can sit down together and say, remember that time the president did the call out, and we're like, we're laboring, like, this is taking forever. You know, this is never going to get done. And then we saw results, and man, now look at the place. Now look at the rally and fair and whatnot. But this is why fellowship is so important. Not only do we submit ourselves to the teachings of what the Bible teaches us that we get from the apostles and furthermore, we experience things together and we can verify one another that the way Jesus operates and the Holy Spirit moving in our lives, we share that with one another and we build each other up because of it, because we see there is a commonality in what is happening in our fellowship, which is absolutely significant.
Awesome. Do stay tuned for our giveaway this week, which is coming up right after this little promo.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
So our book offer this week is actually a Bible study guide, and it's simply titled Church. Sometimes we can think that church is boring and irrelevant. The church is a community of people who share their faith, hope, and love of Jesus. The Bible uses a number of pictures to describe what church is like, and we're talking about some of those things this week. If you'd like a Bible study guide for that, which you can use individually or in a group setting, text us in TEM74. Text that in to 0488 880 891. Do join us again tomorrow, where we continue the last two parts of this topic that we're talking about today, where we're looking at sharing in meals and prayer, just simply breaking bread and prayer. Do join us then. As we go today, may you encounter Jesus more each day, and this beautiful song by Keith and Kirsten Getty, Speak, O Lord.
Speak,
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.